You're listening to the Happy Workaholic Podcast. I'm your host, Kellyanne Gorman. This show was once about business, LinkedIn, and my life with an autoimmune disease. And then one day I found out I was misdiagnosed, so I had to switch things up a bit. Life is so short, and when you're given a second chance, you better believe I'm going to take it, celebrate it, and share it with you. I'm on a mission to help women take their business and life to that next level they deserve to be at. This show is intended to elevate your mind, upgrade your business, enhance your life, and become part of a positive and uplifting community. Inspiration, motivation, and determination are what got me to where I am today, and I cannot wait to share these amazing stories of other female entrepreneurs who will be featured on the show. If you have a story or brand you want to share, send me a message on Facebook and Instagram today. You can find me at The Happy Workaholic. I would love to connect with you. Do you want a live chat during this episode? Make sure you're listening on iHeartRadio. I'm here to remind you to work hard, stay humble, follow your dreams, and never, ever give up. Thanks for taking the time to subscribe to The Happy Workaholic Podcast. And now let's get into today's show. Are you someone who enjoys a schedule? Are you obsessed with that new planner of yours? Do you love the feeling at the end of the day when your to-do list is checked off? Maybe you're ready to get super focused in your home and work life. Well, my friends, I have just the gift for you. I've created some business, mindset, and organizational tools that are available for you today. Simply visit thehappyworkaholic.com and sign up to receive my weekly newsletter. Once you confirm your email, those tools are sent your way, as well as a link for you to join my exclusive Facebook group, The Happy Workaholic Network. This is a community for women who want it all and deserve it all. It's a place for you to meet others just like you to share what you have going on in your everyday life. New business, new baby, new recipes, new workouts, and so much more. It's all allowed because, as I always say, sharing is caring. The Happy Workaholic Network is also the home for the conversations to continue after each episode of the Happy Workaholic Podcast. If this sounds like something that you want to become a part of, then join us today. I cannot wait to see you in the group. And don't forget to tag me on Facebook and Instagram at The Happy Workaholic when using your tool so I can share your work on my stories. Hey everyone, it's Kelly. Welcome back to The Happy Workaholic Podcast. Today is another special edition. It's a Wednesday, so you know what that means. It is part of the I Chose This Life series, today's episode. And today I want to introduce you to my great friend, Veronica. And as somebody that's in the digital space and an online entrepreneur, you always come across these other female bosses and you just need to be friends with them. So I think that's how I met Veronica, because I was like, we need to be friends. So, yeah, Veronica, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. And you're so right. I think that is how we met. We kind of, you know, we're just interacting. I think we were both in the same like Facebook group kind of thing. And we were both interacting with one another. And we're just like, and we got on the phone like once. And I'm like, oh my God, why is this person like not in my life? And we need to be best friends. So we decided that right away.
Of course.
And, I'm still glad to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course, my pleasure. So obviously this series is all about why you chose a career you're in. I want you to share your journey, your struggles, your triumphs, and all of that. But to get started, please introduce yourself. What are you known for online? What is your favorite thing to do? Your professional title? Give it to us. We need the juice.
Okay, cool. So I am the founder of Almirante Communications, and what that is a social media marketing firm. And essentially what I do is I help businesses and, you know, entrepreneurs develop a social media strategy and deploy it and go back and measure, you know, what the results are and sort of stand out online. And, you know, I don't want to say I fell into it because it didn't sort of work out that way, but I started my career very young, and I don't want to date myself, but, you know, I started when I was 18 years old. I moved to New York City by myself, and, you know, I'm originally from the Dominican Republic, but, I went to high school in Florida, and then I moved to New York when I graduated high school, and I knew I wanted to do something big, but I didn't know what I was going to do, and, you know, I ended up meeting people from the music industry, and I did not know at the time that you could make a career, you know, in the music business, you know, without having to be a singer or, you know, play an instrument or something of that nature. So then I discovered, you know, the fact that you could be in the music business doing something like, you know, on the business side, specifically, you know, in marketing. But most interesting to me was that, you know, there was this entire role in this entire department at record companies where you could, your job was to get records played on the radio. So that was my job for over 12 years. I got records played on the radio for different record companies, and I got to work with some amazing people and amazing celebrities and artists and just like geniuses. And that's where my marketing career began. And so I used to work with radio station programmers and different DJs to play my records. And so that's where I learned how to brand and about marketing and repetition and, you know, promoting a brand and sort of taking something that no one knows about into something that's like a household name. So, you know, it was really fun, and that, you know, I did that for 12 years. I grew up in the music business as a professional. You know, again, I started when I was 18, and, you know, I left when I was 31. So it really just shaped me as a professional. And so when I left the music business, I decided to come back to Florida. I spent 6 years in New York, 6 years in LA, and I decided to be, you know, near my family and my mom, you know, at the time. So I returned to Florida. I left the business because I had no personal life whatsoever. And after I left, I had this huge regret and sort of had an identity crisis, because how do you follow that up? Like, what do you do after you work in the music business and you are like flying private jets and you are like working for GC and that's like your boss, and, you know, you were just having a conversation with Beyonce? Like, you know, that was like real life, and that was my job. So how do you sort of, you know, follow that up? And so I put a lot of pressure on myself to do something, you know, amazing. But even when I was in the music business, I felt like we were getting really stressed out, and, you know, we took what we did very serious. But at the end of the day, you know, I didn't feel that we were doing anything really meaningful, even though we know the impact that music has, you know, in people's lives, and we know how important it is. I didn't feel like we were doing something that was really all that significant, right? So when I left the music business, I came here to Florida, I started learning a little bit about, you know, addiction recovery through, you know, experiences that were near to me and through my own experience. And I was watching that show Intervention, and I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. I want to do interventions. I want to do that, right? So I started working in the addiction treatment field at the time, and I thought I wanted to be a therapist, and I wanted to help people and help them, you know, overcome their challenges. But I realized that by the time I got like my certification to be, you know, a Florida licensed, you know, counselor, that I could not deal with that population. Like, it was a lot of work. And to this day, like, I give it up to therapists, because I don't know how they like get to listen to people's problems and not take that home with them, or how they don't, you know, get so emotionally attached. So props to them.
And they're always so busy too, because I know I can't even see mine every week. I'm every other week. Yeah, they're always so booked.
And they see people back to back, and, you know, people are like going through so much. And
oh my God.
How do they not take that home? Like, how do you not get emotionally like involved? And how do you like not wonder like what's going on with that person when you're off of work
forever? So,
like,
yeah.
I was like, there's no way I can do this. I need to go back to, you know, what I know how to do, which is marketing. However, at the time, because I wasn't doing something creative, I had started my own blog. This was, you know, circa 2010. So at the time, you know, there was a lot of fashion blogging going on, but I wanted my fashion blog to be different. I didn't want it to be like outfits or anything like that. I went around consignment shops near, you know, my area and would find really special pieces and blog about them and just like, you know, resell and like amazing like vintage pieces, or just fashion is something that I've always been into. And I actually, when I moved to New York, I thought I was going to go to Parsons, which looking back on it is, it's a little, you know, insane that I moved to New York prior to applying to Parsons or anything, but like, you know, so yeah, that didn't, you know, happen. But so fashion was always a thing for me. So I'm like, I'm going to start a fashion blog. But what that blog allowed me to do, and I remember people used to ask me, like, why are you doing this? You're not making any money. I'm like, I don't know why I'm doing it. I just love it. I'm, you know, it's a creative outlet for me, but I just know I have to do it. And that blog taught me is how to drive traffic to websites using social media. And I didn't know at the time how that would change my life. So one of the things that I would just want to say, like right now, is like, if you don't know why you're doing something you love right now, don't feel like you need to have it figured out or you need to have that answer, because the answer will reveal itself. Just follow your heart and follow like your gut instinct, because eventually like it will like make sense. Because for me at the time, like I didn't know why I was doing that. I just knew it was something I had to do. And I'm glad, like, despite, you know, the objections or what people had to say about it, I continue to do it, you know. But again, I had no idea how that would be, you know, how I learned how to do what I do today. So, you know, then a few stores that I was, you know, going to photograph asked me to start managing their Facebook pages. And that's sort of how I started doing social media professionally. And those were my first clients. But then I needed a full-time job. You know, I couldn't survive with the money that I was making, you know, from doing that. So I decided to start applying for full-time social media management jobs. And for the first time with social media, I felt that I could follow what I did in the music business, because my job before was to get records played on the radio. So I had to go to a radio station, to a program director, and say, can you please play this song? Well, here I am dealing with social media and different media platforms, but I no longer have to ask for permission. I get to dictate how much, you know, something gets mentioned or something gets played, right? Like now I'm the program director. So I've always viewed, you know, a social media channel in the same way that a program director is someone who creates and has to produce content, you know, and put it out there for the masses, in sort of the same way that I'm creating this sort of experience for them and that I'm programming, you know, this quote unquote radio station, but instead it's a social media account. So for me, like, it was such an easy transition, and it made sense because I knew the principles of how a record would become familiar, which was repetition, you know, education about who the artist was, exposure, mentions, community, you know, doing events and things that, you know, how we used to break records was something that I could like now bring to social media. And so, you know, I decided to get a full-time job, and I started applying for different jobs, and it just so happened that, you know, the people who called me back and offered me a full-time social media management job was an addiction treatment center, which, you know, you wouldn't think that rehab places, you know, need social media managers, but, you know, this was a thing, right? And so they ended up hiring me, and to make a long story short, and not to take up all the time in your first question, I worked my way up in that industry from social media manager all the way to, you know, director of social media at another company. Then eventually I moved to another company who made me their director of marketing. And now I was not only overseeing social media, but then I was overseeing all of our digital marketing and traditional marketing strategy, you know, everything from like, you know, traditional media like ads to creating stuff for conferences to doing all the digital stuff. So that last experience and that last position really gave me an opportunity to become a little bit more well-rounded. And so I it's funny that, you know, the name is I Chose This Life, because I sometimes don't feel like I did, even though I know I chose the life I've lived today, I kind of don't feel like I did, right? Because the last job that I had, it was, I got laid off in September of 2017. And so I've been out on my own and with my own business for like about, you know, a little over a year. But, you know, it all started from a layoff. And, you know, at the time I thought I was just going to go into another director of marketing position. But then, you know, I noticed that all the projects and all the opportunities that were coming up were sort of freelance. And so I had to form a company and, you know, I had to go out on my own. So it kind of, the opportunity came up, and the most amazing thing happened. It was just the fact that I had built such a great reputation for myself, you know, in that industry, that I didn't need to do any marketing. I already had clients. I remember I started my own business in October, and it wasn't until like March of the following year that like my website went live, and then I started doing marketing. So I was really, really lucky, because, you know, I didn't have to do a lot of marketing to already have, you know, management clients and social media clients, because they already were familiar with my work. And so to me, it was very interesting that, you know, I stayed within the mental health field, because that was never really the intention. But that's where I felt I was needed. And I started to take it really serious, because I know that like that post, that Facebook post could change someone's lives. You know, that Facebook, you know, conversation or that connection could save someone's life. And so what I started to take what I did a little bit more serious, you know, and started to bring that sort of and I've always took it serious, you know, when I worked for someone else. But when I was working for myself, I understood almost how sacred, you know, what I was doing was, and the fact that I was really tapped into that community and knew what the needs were, not just of, you know, my employers or like the clients, but the need of that community and what's going on with the opioid crisis right now, and mm-hmm. just all of the issues that we have as a nation. You know, I became so familiar with, you know, all the different audience populations that we have, you know, within that industry, that it just became second nature. And so even now, as, you know, we're having this conversation, I've explored different clients and different industries, but I understand how valuable and important the work that I'm doing right now is. So, because for a while, like, it's not, you know, it wasn't sexy or glamorous to work, you know, in mental health. And, you know, and it's not that I was like ashamed of it, but I, you know, it was nothing to, for me to brag about. But, you know, it's been recent that I understood just how important it was to work for this field and for this cause versus working for, you know, something that was glamorous, you know, or something that was, you know, sexier or whatever, you know, just more fun. And so for a while I struggled with that, but now I realize like how important that is. So that was a super long answer to your question, but that's sort of like how I got here.
No, but I love that you just shared all of that, and we're so similar in so many ways, but I just really loved the fact that you said, like, you never really know, like, why you're doing something at that time, but it's just, like, fueling you up for, like, what's to come, you know? Yeah. So it's so funny that you said that, because just yesterday, or was it the day before? Yeah, it was 2 days ago, because I was home putting on my makeup. Yesterday I did it in the car, so it was 2 days ago, and I'm putting on my makeup, and I'm like, I don't know, something just, it was like, you know, you just get like smacked across the face with a thought, and something's like in your mind right away. And I'm in my bathroom, I'm in the mirror, putting on my makeup, and I'm like, why was I a makeup artist for 16 years? Why? Because now I know how to present myself, like do my hair and makeup and like look good. Because now I'm like really pushing a lot of my marketing with video to promote my podcast and like everything I have to offer with my business. And I need to look like I'm put together. And then why did I work in all the restaurants? And why did I work on yachts and jets and all that? Because I needed to understand all aspects of service so that I could put my own program together and make sure that I provide the best service possible when it comes to dealing with all types of personalities and clients. So I think I've got that down, but like, I didn't know why the hell I was doing those jobs. I mean, I went to art school half my life. That's kind of how I fell into makeup because I loved doing it. But like how I got into the service industry, like working in high profile jobs like you, and like, you don't know because that's your life at the time and you don't know anything else. And I too, like when I left like a bubble of working for high profile families, I too like kind of had a little crisis like, wait, so I'm not like with my black Amex anymore and I don't have a car and I don't have like, what is this new life like? And I'm like, I'm free. I can do whatever I want.
It's such a hard lesson on identity and
a lesson.
I don't wish that crisis on anyone because we sort of, you know, especially the younger that you are, you know, for me, like that was my identity. That's who I was. And, you know, clearly like we're not, you know, what we do, you know, we're so much more than that. But my identity, you know, I put so much value in like me being a record executive that I, you know, that was my identity at the time. And it wasn't, it was just my job, you know, but for me, it cost me a lot of tears and it was really painful. And I didn't understand why I spent and sacrificed so much to work in the music business to then just like not do it anymore. And I didn't understand, but looking back on it today, I can say like, I never, you know, got to go to college, you know, because I started working for record
exactly
right away, and you know, I wasn't thinking about it, but I was like hiring college interns, you know, to help me. So I'm like, why would I go to college? But that was my college, you know, that was my business school, that was, you know, my marketing education, which, you know, was real life experience. And you know, as we know now, you know, that's just so much more valuable. Sometimes I know that, you know, education is important and foundation is important, but for someone like me who didn't, you know, have time to go to college, is just, you just never know what any given experience is teaching you at the time and how that's gonna add value to any opportunity that you may have in the future. So so to anyone listening, it just, if you're questioning like what you're doing and why you're doing that, just follow your heart. You just never know like what that's gonna turn into in the future.
And that one experience can completely change your life. Like in any, you just never know. And I just love that you just said all that. Now that you're on your own and you're running your own empire online, what do you think your biggest obstacle has been, like from like transitioning? Now you're the boss.
So number one, it was getting out of the employee mentality and into the CEO mentality. And so, you know, because especially, you know, up until like very recent, you know, I was doing a lot of the stuff myself instead of outsourcing, and not because, you know, I couldn't afford to outsource or I couldn't afford to get help. I just, you know, it's so personal to me, you know, because I'm basically, so when clients hire me, they're not, you know, just hiring me for my skills. They're hiring me for my experience, for my talent, for, you know, for what I'm going to bring to the table. So I feel sometimes that I can't replace that. You know, I have to be able to deliver that myself. So one of the obstacles that I had was being a business person and understanding business and running my company as a real business instead of running it as a job. And, you know, just showing up to do a job and not making the decisions that I needed to make as a business owner. Another obstacle was that I never, ever, ever, like if you would have asked me, I never wanted to go out on my own. And I got approached numerous times and, you know, was always told that you should start your own company. Do your, even when I was in the music business, I was, you know, asked to do this. I was like, absolutely not. I love getting a check every 2 weeks. I love having my benefits. I do not want that responsibility. and I do not want to chase people for money. Well, I was wrong. You don't have to chase people for money either when you have your own business, if you have a proper process and you mm-hmm. have, you know, your procedure and, you know, you have your stuff resolved up front. You don't have to chase people for money. So again, you know, I, overcoming all the stories I had sort of told myself throughout the years was one of my biggest challenges. And, you know, still right now, you know, sort of transitioning into more of a CEO instead of the employee. I'm still working on that and putting together processes and sort of removing myself from some of the tasks. But I'm also very hands-on and I love what I do. And I realized that the other day, you know, I love creating content. I love, you know, creating captions for social media posts. I love being in that creative place of just writing the copy for an ad and just sort of, you know, coming up with the image. Like, I love getting lost in that and hours could go by. So I'm very torn because that's like, you know, doing some of the tasks that I need to outsource is what I love about my job. But then I also realize the importance of having to somewhat remove myself from some of the things that, someone else could be doing, mm-hmm. and, you know, not at the expense of the client, but just sort of, you know, making the right decisions so that I can scale.
I love that. And I feel the same way when I'm writing scripts for clients, like intros and outros and their own podcasts. And I never thought I'd be writing content for people. Like, I thought I was the worst writer. I still think I am. And I'm like, this is awful. And then I'll get feedback and there's no edits. And I'm like, what the hell? But I feel like I really enjoy the process because there's an end result, because I'm putting together words on paper or in a Word doc, really. And then I'm adding music and then I'm adding a voice. So it's like the package at the end, like, you know, everything is done at the end of the day. Like, it's all come together. And then you have this like unique presentation or this like piece of a podcast. And like, it's just that I love like processes, not really like procedures, because I hate that stuff. But yeah. I just enjoy like the process of it. But I never thought that I would be producing podcasts and writing content. But like, that's the fire that I have right now, like in my gut. And I'm like, who knows? Like, maybe I'll be somewhere else. And this is why I needed this experience now. But like, I effing love this. And I just like love doing it for other people. And I feel like, you know, life is so short. Like, we just have to go with like what we're really loving at the moment. And I just like this week, I've just been going harder than normal. And I've been getting up super early and I've been working till like 12, 1 in the morning. And I honestly cannot remember the last time I felt one, happy, and two, like motivated. And like, I was still excited at like 12:01 a.m. Like, shit, I'm still pushing out content right now. Like, I felt so good about it. But like, what is something that motivates you? Like, is it a person or is it, you know, what's your biggest motivator that gets you up in the morning? Obviously, like, you love what you do, but like, is there a certain person? Is there like one thing?
Well, number one is my family. You know, like, basically, I'm the main, you know, in my household, you know, the agency, thankfully, you know, brings in, you know, the most money. But, you know, being able to support my family is my number one motivation, because, you know, coming from the Latino culture, that's sort of like a thing that's, you know, in our DNA, where we mm-hmm. have to take care of our parents and stuff. You know, and I remember I left to go to New York because I felt like I didn't have time to go to school and take 4 years, you know, to get this education, because I felt I needed to help support my mom now. You know, so it's always been about, you know, being able to support my mom and take care of her. And so my family would be my number one motivation. But number two, you know, is definitely thinking about the fact that if a post doesn't reach someone, that post can make the difference on whether or not they get help or they get support. And this is not just, you know, for someone who is in active addiction. This could be a loved one, like a family member, which is the worst position you can be in, to watch somebody who you love suffer from addiction. So I also think that's also a big motivation, just knowing that that one post can change someone's life, you know, or can help make someone feel like someone knows what I'm going through, or I'm not alone, especially because there's so much shame and stigma around addiction. People feel really alone, or they can't talk about their neighbors or their other family members about what they're going through, whether they're the person in active addiction or a loved one. There's still a lot of shame and stigma around it. So being able to provide content for that is really, really, like I said, almost sacred to me. And again, for a long, long time, I didn't realize the value of that. And I mean, I knew there was value to it, but I didn't think of it like I think of it now and understand like how important that is, especially today, like as we deal with this crisis. And again, we live in a world of appearances, and I just didn't think that that was like so, glamorous or whatever to be doing. But I realized that like I'm really good at it, and mm-hmm. I understand that population really, really good. And, it's just something that like, again, I just value so much, and it's taken me a long time to embrace it the way that I do today. So that motivates me, the fact that the work that I'm doing can change someone's life, and not just my family by being able to provide for them, but again, the information that I am providing can, you know, shift, you know, and it can even, you know, determine whether or not someone lives or dies, you know. Mm-hmm. So like when you think about like the levels of how that can affect someone, it's really like, whoa, you know.
Yeah,
so
that's a lot of pressure.
Yeah, and I mean, there's not a lot of people who do what I do, and mm-hmm. you know, I'm probably like the only one who like, specializes in like social media in this space. I know that there's other agencies who probably offer that service who work in this industry, but there's nobody that does what I do. And, you know, one of the things that has helped me is the fact that I did take that training to become, you know, an addictions counselor. So I know what's appropriate to say, what's not appropriate to say. And mm-hmm. I took, you know, all that training, but then I also have the social media savvy to be able to get that message across. So it's a really unique blend. And again, another example of how you never know
why you're there.
You're focusing on today will have an impact on you later. So even though I didn't wind up becoming an addictions counselor, it brought something more to me being, you know, a social media professional in this space. Like it definitely brought more credibility and obviously just like ethics to, you know, what I do. It's not just marketing. It's also knowing all the other stuff, the clinical side behind it as well.
And I feel like, especially in that industry, it's so important because you really need to know and understand like 100% the verbiage that's needed for something like that.
I'm so glad you said that, because that's something that, you know, I wanted to say that so we have like different populations. There's people who are in recovery and, you know, again, people who are just, you know, the public who are not aware that, you know, addiction is a disease and are not aware of things that are going on. And, you know, that industry has its own lingo. People who are in recovery and 12-step fellowships or different kind of programs, it has its own lingo. It has its own culture almost. So you do have to be really careful about, you know, how you speak and mm-hmm. the things that you say, who you may offend, and you know what you're mindful of. So yeah, absolutely, you need to be aware of all those things to be able to do what I do. And that's why it's also so hard for me to find, you know, help, because not everyone can go ahead and just step into that role. Yes, anybody can put up a Facebook post, but you know, you need somebody who has additional insight and who knows how this industry works a little bit to be able to do it. So that's also been, you know, somewhat of a challenge when we talk about hiring and filling and bringing on a team has been finding people who know about this and who are also, you know, social media savvy. So that has proven to be a challenge. But I find that, like, if one person is at least really good at one of them, I can train them on the rest, but I just can't train them on both, you know?
Yeah.
So that's, again, another really long answer to your question of, like, what...
I love your long answers, and I'm sure everybody that's listening, like, really appreciates everything that you're saying, because they're getting a lot of expertise and knowledge.
I'm sorry, but I'm, like, racking it on.
It's good. This is what we want. So when you're obviously not working, like, the 5 minutes of the day, like all of us, like, what do you do... First of all, like, what kind of schedule do you set for, like, every day? Like, when you're in your office, like, when is go time? And then, like, what are your favorite things you like to do when it comes to self-care and downtime and working out and all that fun stuff?
So I don't have a set schedule, and I wanted to be that, I want to be the person that has schedule and who has, like, this super, like, a really good, like, balance and self-care, you know, but I'm not there yet. But that's okay, you know, it is what it is. But, like, it all depends on the day as far as the schedule is concerned. Like, if I have a call at 9 a.m., clearly my day is starting, you know, a little earlier. But I find myself being most productive in the evenings. So I normally, you know, don't get started until noon unless there's something I have to, you know, do or, you know, whatever. But I like taking breaks. I think that's, like, really important, especially when you're sitting in front of a computer.
Yes. And I never used to agree with that, but now, like, 500%, I have to take breaks.
Yeah, no, you do. And I mean, if I'm in the middle of, like, a creative, like, flow, or, like, I'm jamming, like, I'm not going to interrupt that. But if I'm in between tasks, I try to, like, go take a walk outside and sort of be in nature, just, like, go look at the trees and not look at a computer screen. As far as self-care is concerned, I completely disconnect on the weekends, and which is horrible because, again, you think that, you know, as a social media person, I'd be, like, super active on my own social media. But unfortunately and fortunately, I put my clients' needs first. So by the time I'm done publishing for them and kind of creating content for them, the last thing I want to do is go on my own Instagram or whatever and, you know, post for myself. So I try to not open my computer on the weekends. Again, that, you know, doesn't always happen if there's stuff going on, but the ideal weekend would be a weekend where I don't even open my computer and completely, like, unplug. Working out has been something that I started doing in October after I hit a workaholic bottom. So I took on, you know, I take on a more than we're similar in this way that we take on a lot and yes. You know, we overwork ourselves and we, you know, we're just always, you know, overdoing it. Right. So I was doing that and it started to affect my mental health and I became really stressed out. This was around September. And I remember I was at the time launching I did a live workshop with my friend Jen Plasek, who's a Facebook ads expert. And we did a live workshop. And around that time, getting ready for that launch, between the launch and between, you know, managing all my clients, I became really burned out. And it was the kind of burned out where you're, like, burned out, but you're still going because you can't stop.
Exactly.
So I was burned out on top of burnout. And I gained so much weight and I didn't change my diet. So I knew it was strictly stress. And I also began taking it out on my family members, like my husband and my mom, and was just horrible to them. And, you know, it was just a really poor way to manage everything that was going on in my life. So I decided to hire a personal trainer who trains me remotely. It's not in person, he's somewhere else. But I decided to start going to the gym. I hate working out. Like, I hate it. I don't want to do it. But I realized that I needed, in order for me to be able to show up for my job, I needed to start working out because of the effects that it would have on my mental health, but also physically sitting in front of a computer, like I was starting to have pain like in my wrist and suffer some of the effects of like carpal tunnel. Mm-hmm. And I even went to my doctor and he prescribed me like a cream and, you know, he asked me to like get a brace for it and like all these things. And, you know, after working out for a few months, those symptoms went away.
At the end of the day, it's always stress and stress will kill you. And the only thing that's going to help you is what you eat and working out. And I know because I've done it like 100 times over and over again. But this past week, I just started working out again and I think this is why I'm up till midnight and I'm like banging out all this content because like I feel good again. Isn't it so crazy how it just completely changes you?
So crazy because again, I'm more of a lounger. Like I just don't like, you know, activity more of, you know, I'd rather be on a couch like watching that. You know, than doing anything else in the world. So for me, working out is like the worst thing ever. But I became such a fan of it because I just took it at like, this is such an important part of my job. Like if I do not do this, this affects how I show up to my job.
Exactly.
That, you know, by default, that falls into self-care. So that is a non-negotiable now. Even when I don't feel like it, I go to the gym. And the reason why I hired a trainer was because the transformation happens in a transaction, right?
So I love that.
Once you make that commitment and you're like paying money, you're not going to flake on that person. I mean, you know, there's every week when I meet with him, like I don't want to go, but I just like I have to, like I'm paying this money and I'm, you know, I can't stand him up and waste his time. So like I have to show up. So that's why I show up. It's not even because I want to or because I know the benefits of it, because I can negotiate myself with myself for, you know, to not work out so well. Like, you know, so left up to my own devices, I would never work out. So I had to commit to something like that, you know, both with money and with, you know, making an agreement with someone in order for me to be able to show up to myself for myself, which is, you know, again, not ideal, but it's like real life. And that's, you know, that's who I am. I hate it. I don't like it. And
I literally have that. I have on my, like, it's not really a vision board. It's like a quote board. And I just have like things that I need to read to myself every day, like to keep myself mindful and serve others. One says stop playing small, put in the work. And one is working out is a non-negotiable! ! In neon green, post-it front and center.
it doesn't matter how you feel about working out. And that's one of the things that I learned. Like, and again, you know, I also realized how working out translates to real life. Like, you know, my feelings about working out don't matter. Like, I need to show up just like at work. Like, how I feel that day doesn't matter. Like, I have to show up, you know? And when things get hard, like, and when a workout or a certain exercise is hard, I have to get through it just like I would in a real life situation. So when you start to look at, you know, the similarities and, like, you know, exercising and, like, real life and your job, like, it starts to, you know, make a lot of sense. So it is a non-negotiable. So whatever you have to do to trick yourself to show up, whether that's paying somebody, whether it's whatever you have to do, do it. That is such a non-negotiable. If you have your own business and you're an entrepreneur, working out and doing and like moving and having movement is like, I mean, it's almost like oxygen. Like it's so.
It really is. Yeah.
Again, I did not know that. It's something I learned the hard way. So if you haven't had a work bottom yet or like a burnout bottom yet, you don't have to get there. Just like sort of
start now.
These things. Yeah, start doing it and avoid it because, you know, it's like I will never forget how horrible I felt that month. I'll never forget how gross that, like even just thinking about it, like it was just the grossest feeling ever, how stressed out I was, how I was just eating junk, how I was just, like, you know, being so rude to everybody who loved me and who wanted to be there for me, but I couldn't even tell them how to be there for me because I was just reacting, you know, I wasn't really helping myself in any way. So definitely, if you're not working out, start today.
You have to start today. Even if it's inside, do a couple little lunges.
Like, I am not, like, a fitness person. And, like, you know, so, again, this comes from somebody who's, like, on team. Like, I hate working out. So,
when do you think your official, like, I chose this life moment has been? Like, when did that happen? What were you doing? Like, your aha moment. Like, this is why I'm meant to be doing what I'm doing right now.
Well, something happened like at the beginning of this year. Like at the beginning of this year, I realized that because I run my business from home, because, you know, I don't need to get office space. I, you know, one morning I woke up and I, you know, I just looked around my apartment. I'm like, this is a business. This household is a business and it needs to start being run that way. So that was one huge, you know, shift that I had, that I needed to start approaching this household as a business because it's a business. Right. So, and I needed to be reminded of that. So I sort of, like, you know, I didn't have an official office or anything like that in my house. I love working from my couch and just being super casual about it. But, you know, I made changes with, you know, with my furniture to set aside a, like, an office space. So that was one of the things that I was like, this is a thing I'm doing, you know, because, again, when I first made the decision to go out on my own, not that it felt forced, but it felt like what I had to do at the time in order to pay my bills, right? Mm-hmm. Like, this is the only opportunity that was available. There were a freelance job, so I had to start this company. I didn't choose this. But the moment that I realized this household is a business and it needs to start running that way, I somewhat owned the fact that this was what I was doing. But then recently, as recent as like a couple weeks ago, I had that I chose this life, this moment, because of the fact that I realized how important the work that I'm doing is. Because, again, this isn't about me. It's about the people that I get to serve. And it, when I talk about serving, I guess, you know, that could apply to my clients, but I'm in service to the people who are struggling, mm-hmm. you know, of service to the people who are looking for resources and who are looking for help and who don't know who to turn to. So that's who I feel, you know, I'm in service to now. And, you know, I can't, there's some really amazing stuff going on that I can't even talk about legally because I have to sign like an NDA, but there's some super cool stuff that I hope like we can do a follow-up episode so we can then talk about it. But
absolutely.
There's some cool stuff that's happening around, you know, this crisis that we're going through, which is, you know, the addiction crisis, and, you know, some really amazing people who are doing some great work around those efforts this year. And, you know, again, I can't talk about it yet, but to be part of that and to have been brought in to collaborate with these giants is beyond words, something that I never thought would happen in my life. But that's happening, and I realized that this is what I'm supposed to show up to, you know, not the things I thought I was doing this for, if mm-hmm. that makes sense.
No, like, absolutely it does. And I'm so excited that you're part of something like this, because I've spent enough time in the ERs over the last couple of years, and I've seen it with my own two eyes, actually, the crisis that is happening, because they end up in the ER. And I've seen it myself, and it's just insane how I've seen it grow myself. So it's definitely something that needs to be taken care of, and you're definitely the type of person, personally and professionally, that needs to be a part of that to make it happen, I feel like. So they're so lucky to have you because you're amazing at what you do, but you're so passionate about helping who really needs the help, you know?
Thank you. No, I appreciate you saying that. And yeah, like what has been really interesting is just that, again, you know, these are all situations that kind of, you know, I don't do a lot of marketing. And, you know, for a long time, one of the things that I discovered in this journey of being an entrepreneur is that I love teaching, you know, and you know, that I've offered master classes in the past and I've done a couple of launches. I just don't have time to teach right now, like mm-hmm. because of all the problems I have going on. So, and then I also did explore, you know, the coaching side and helping people come up with a strategy. But, you know, I kind of was trying to like run away from like the management side and the strategy side and the day-to-day and like, you know, addiction treatment. And, the, you know, I was trying to run away from all of that and start something else. Like I somewhat didn't, you know, appreciate that in the way that I do today and appreciate the seriousness of that work. But I was kind of like trying to, you know, find my place somewhere else. And I'm now back to how I started, which was, you know, the management, just simply because I don't have time to do, you know, to take on any coaching clients anymore. I don't have time to do any of my own launches anymore because of all the work that's going on. But I'm so grateful that that's, you know, the position that I'm in today, because again, it's something that I try to run away from for so long. So if you feel like you're in an industry or that you have, like, you keep getting a certain kind of client and you feel like, you know, that that's not like cool, or like that you want to do something else, just some, because you don't feel like that, like you just never know. Mm-hmm. Kind of like explore everything. Like if you want to teach, if you want to coach, right? Do it all appropriately and be ethical about it, mm-hmm. but also like explore it so that that way you know, like, okay, well, I know I didn't like this. So in the end, I ended up liking the very thing that I was like trying to run away from. I choose it above all the other things. So by pursuing like other little things, I was able, I didn't know it at the time, and I didn't know it until very recently, that I'd be back sort of where I started and say, no, I choose to do this. And this is what I want to do. And this is what I'm really great at. And this is what I really love to do. So yeah, I probably got like really carried away again with my answer.
You have the best answers though. Everybody listening needs to hear.
We're going off topic, but yeah, no, it's just, it, you just, I feel like you have to follow your heart and you have to
absolutely
follow what your voice is telling you. And, you know, if it is to explore something that you haven't done before, explore it, do it. Even if it doesn't work out, like, you know, either like it didn't work out because you didn't like it or you don't want to do it anymore, but you, at least you know, and you know, like how much work it's going to take to really make it happen or whatever. Just don't be afraid to go for that. And, you know, I don't know, like if things will change and how it will launch something and teach again or do a masterclass or do whatever, but you know, I did feel at one point, you know, the pressure to somewhat show everyone else all the stuff that I'm doing, mm-hmm. and, you know, and market and be visible and this and that.
It's a lot of pressure because showing up for your damn Instagram stories is exhausting.
I just can't, like, yeah, like, and, you know, and again, the fact that, like, my job is to do that for, like, a handful of people, but mm-hmm. by the time I get to mine, like, that's the last thing I want to do, you know?
So, exactly.
It's a lot of pressure, and then, you know, you start to see other people in this space that you love and admire, you know, no shade at all, but, like, you start to see other people posting what they're doing, whatever, and you're like, man, you know, like, I haven't marketed myself or I haven't said anything about myself or my services in, like, weeks and whatever. But it's like the truth is that I'm working, you know,
yeah.
But I will say that, you know, I need to create a good balance because I also don't want to get into the situation that then when I'm not busy, I have to react and market from scratch, you know, mm-hmm. So I think that there's something to be said about, okay, it's cool to stay busy, but also finding the balance that's right for me to also remain visible so that if a time should come where I'm looking for clients that I'm not having to start from scratch and everybody's like, where did this person come from? You know?
It's so funny you just said that because one of my clients, I produce her podcast and she just had a baby And she works from home right now, and she's trying to find that balance. So no matter where you are in your career, there's always a constant struggle of balance, especially for us that work, like for us women that work online. It's either you're slammed with work, or you have to consistently outsource or consistently show up online, or, you know, do Facebook Lives and handle your social media and then handle your clients. Like, we wear a lot of hats, and you just have to make sure it is about the balance. And sometimes it, you know, takes a while to find it. And I mean, I know it took me a long time to find it.
Yeah, and I mean, I still don't have the balance, you know, but I think at the end of the day, it's like, you know, just doing your best each day. Like,
exactly.
You know, and being nicer to ourselves and not putting so much, like, we're doing better than we think we are, you know, and we're really good at putting a lot of pressure on ourselves. We're really good at comparing ourselves to a lot of people, but we're not good at giving ourselves credit when credit is due, you know, and I think
that's
like,
so true.
We do our best, try to, you know, aim for that balance or to just a little bit, that even your awareness of the fact that you need to create a balance is a thing, you know, and something you should be like, okay, at least I'm doing that, you know? So yeah, that's really important, you know, just to sort of.
Balance needs to be like our middle name.
I know. Well, I'm a Libra, so technically it's like a thing for me for sure, you know, just with the scales and balance is just, you know, a lot bigger than just a goal. It's like part of my DNA, and if I'm not, like, it, you know, it's sort of, but it's really easy to get caught up and just to, you know, not have balance and to be, and I'm an extremist. Like it's very hard for me to be like in the middle about anything. Like I'm either really into something or I'm not into it. I may be lukewarm about something, but for the most part, I'm an extremist. And
I'm the same.
Know, it's really easy for me to not be in balance. But, you know, I think one of the biggest things is, you know, being nicer to ourselves and also not acting out of fear. You know, whether that is fear of not being visible, whether that's not, you know, that's fear of like not having clients, whatever the fear is, just don't. Because, I mean, it's healthy to have a healthy fear, but you know how it is. Like anytime we start really getting paranoid about something, we're gonna like bring it into our lives. So the moment that you let it go, even if you're not sure how you're gonna get that next check, but the moment that you're like, yo, I'm gonna trust like the universe or whatever you believe in and go for that, that's the minute that you're gonna see results. So just don't, you know, if it's fear of balance or whatever, like just make sure that, like, again, it's coming from a place of love towards yourself and compassion.
I love that. Thank you so much for being on this show. Like, you're definitely going to be on again for sure, but you just shared so much information and knowledge and expertise and insight into so many different aspects of working online and how we should run our business and just everything in general that I know everybody will appreciate. I love you. Thank you so much for being on the show. Of course, I want you to share, you know, what's coming up for you next. Where can we find you online? I'm going to have all these links in the show notes. So for those of you listening, when you're done, head on over and to the show notes and then click those links and give Veronica a follow. Let her know that you came from the show. But what would you like to share with us now? Something exciting, maybe? We're going to meet up in person.
Yes. Something really exciting that's coming up is I'm going to be at Social Media Marketing World, which for those of you that may not know or be familiar with Social Media Examiner, which is only like the biggest blog on
ever
social media marketing. Like they have their yearly conference and I'm going to be working at the conference this year. So I'm really excited to be there in San Diego, March 18th through I think 22nd. And I get to meet you. So I'm super stoked about that. And the biggest thing I have going on right now, I can't talk about because of the non-disclosure.
I know.
I so wish Wood, and I'm so excited about it, and it's like a dream come true, but hopefully in the follow-up episode we will. But people can find me on Instagram at Amarante Vero, which is like Veronica cut in half, and Amarante, you'll have it in the show notes and all that stuff, so I won't spell it in for you, but I also have my Facebook group, which is where I sort of, you know, give tips, and, you know, so if you're interested in getting social media tips or learning a little bit more about, you know, social media news, that's, you know, kind of like my go-to place where I drop some of that knowledge. I also do that on Instagram, but for those of you that are interested in like seeing more content, and I do want to get back to my lives. I was doing a lot of Facebook lives last year and doing, you know, like my weekly or semi-weekly lives with like different topics on social media. It's just like, again, I've been like so slammed, but hopefully I can get back into that sooner than later, so that,
and those are good. You've got some good episodes, you guys. You have to check them out. Scroll through her feed and check out the latest ones that she has. They're so good.
Thank you so much. No, I usually, and I need to have you on there, because one of the topics I have not touched on has been, you know, podcasting, and you're my go-to for that. But yeah, no, I usually try to have somebody on who I adore and who also knows something, who's an expert at something. And I just love having conversations just like you with other professionals about, you know, a specific topic and what's working for them. And that's sort of like the idea behind the lives. So, you know, hopefully you guys can check that out.
Yay. Thank you so much for being on today's show. I appreciate it. And I will see you in San Diego so soon.
Yes. Now, thank you so much for having me on. And for those of you tuned in, thank you so much for listening and for listening to my long answers.
They love your long answers just as much as I do. Thank you guys so much for listening, and I will talk to you again soon. Thank you so much for listening to today's show. If you liked this episode, please share it with someone who you feel needs to hear this message. And don't forget to tag me at The Happy Workaholic on Facebook and Instagram so I can feature you on my stories. And if you have 2 minutes and listening on iTunes or Apple Podcasts, I would love it if you could leave me a review. Those messages mean so much to us podcasters, and they really help me create more of the content that you'll love. Want to continue today's conversation? It's simple. Head to Facebook and search for the Happy Workaholic Network Facebook group. Answer the questions and you're in. For more information on myself, coaching programs, weekly newsletter, and more, visit thehappyworkaholic.com. The Happy Workaholic Podcast is part of the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. Be sure to follow the Happy Workaholic Podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. I hope that your day continues to be happy, healthy, positive, and productive, and I'll talk to you again soon.